Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Mark
is with us from some unknown remote location. Let me make sure we bring him up on the screen so you can see him. For those of you watching at home, when it works, we'll figure out why it's not working. Anyway, you can watch us at home if you want. I would not recommend watching us while you're driving, though. You can watch us at home by going to watch.freetalklive.com. That'll take you right to our live streaming channel on Odyssey, where you can enjoy the show. And there's even an Odyssey chat room, which we are able to monitor, and I'm glad we're able to do that.
So indeed.
Thank you to everybody that participates in there. So last night, there was a story I really wanted to get to, but we just didn't have a chance. And it is in reference to this ongoing attack against cryptocurrency by the federal government, as some of our weekend hosts have taken to calling it.
Government. Okay.
Instead of people calling themselves government or thugs, mafia, gang, there's all kinds of things you can call it, but giving it a more accurate name for what it is, rather than just calling it government, calling it something more accurate. And anyway, these goons in the states have been attacking cryptocurrency in a variety of different ways. And we've seen the SEC is one of the major sources of that ongoing attack. That's the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Yeah, they are not resting, man. They are going after every cryptocurrency they can think of. And I think they recently put out a long list, including things like Tron and Dash and several others as potentials or things they consider to be securities. It's all very confusing.
Basically, if you look at what they've said in the last year in their various different lawsuits against cryptocurrency companies and developers and people like that, essentially the chairman of the SEC, a man named Gary Gensler, has come right out and basically said that every cryptocurrency is a security except for Bitcoin. That's basically his position.
Why is Bitcoin exempt? Because it's the first, I'm guessing?
That's an excellent question. And
none of this makes any sense. This is the random ramblings of a mouth-breathing bureaucrat. He has nothing to back up what he says. He just says it.
Well, he's got guns.
Yes,
to back
he
it
has
up.
A lot of guns and a lot of courts and a lot of prosecutors that can make this happen. In fact, in the video clip that I can play for you here, this character, Gary Gensler, was in Congress today in a hearing. You know, they can subpoena people to hearings at Congress. And so this guy showed up. I don't know if they had to subpoena him because he works for them. But he was in the hot seat today in Congress. And it is fairly entertaining to listen to this.
And is he getting roasted by?
He's getting roasted by whatever committee this is, probably some sort of financial congressional committee. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to listen to because they really do give it to him pretty good.
That's good.
Whether it will actually mean anything, I'm pretty skeptical. I think it's a show. You know, it's definitely an entertaining show. But I think that's ultimately all this is. I don't think this is going to slow down the attack against cryptocurrency. I don't think even if they take Gary Gensler out from that position, and there is a bill apparently that's been put forward by one of these U.S. representatives to fire Gary Gensler from that position, I still don't really think that's going to do anything to change things, because I think whoever takes over the position will continue to, maybe more cautiously, but continue to run the same attack against cryptocurrency.
I tend to agree. Not having seen the video yet, I suspect they're just wagging their finger at him as bureaucrats tend to do to one another, and I don't think anything will result from it.
I don't think Congress really has much power. I mean, are they going to send the legislative police after this guy?
Well, I mean, they created the bureaucracy. If they wanted to, they can change the bureaucracy. They could eliminate
all of Congress could do that, but the chances are good that the most educated on finance are on the finance committee and the rest aren't. And, you know, what is the benefit to them of reining in this particular, this is important, executive branch bureaucrat? Now, they should have never given their legislative power away to an executive branch bureaucrat and should have never said that the SEC has enforcement power. They should have, you know, all the rules, I retract that, all the rules the FCC manages
SEC.
To enforce, SEC, yes, excuse me, ought to be passed through Congress rather than just a bunch of ramblings from bureaucrats, which is the vast majority of it. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, you no longer live in a republic. Like, at this point, all it is Congress critters putting on a display for you.
Yeah, and it really is. And I think the strongest point is, even if these people wanted to do more than talk down to this guy, and he deserves what he gets here. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, talk some S to him in a public venue, even if they actually do put forward this bill, as one of them has, to fire this dude. Well, remember, it has to get signed by the president.
Right? Yeah, that's so unlikely.
It's going to go absolutely nowhere. Even if it passes both the U.S. House and the Senate, it's like the same thing with the whole fair tax thing. The Republicans, you remember a few months ago when the Republicans held up the nomination of the Speaker of the House, who was this Republican guy whose name I don't recall, but there was all this hubbub about it, and it was like
McCarthy?
Put on, what was it, McClarty?
McCarthy.
That's what it was. Yeah, Kevin McCarthy. And there was all this to do about there's several holdouts in the Republican Party that won't vote for their own guy. And it took several days. It was like, I don't know, 7 or 10 days or something of them arguing over, you know, various different political footballs to try to get enough people to vote for this guy. Because if enough people didn't vote for him, they would just keep having these voting rounds. It could go on for literally hundreds of days before finally somebody might win. And so they had to negotiate all these deals, right? So the holdout Republicans.
And people still think they're being represented by this nonsense going on of these people working out backroom deals. Hey, I'll vote for your thing if you vote for our nominee.
That's exactly
here.
What happened.
I know, yeah, but.
And so one of the things they made, one of the deals was that the Fair Tax Act would be allowed to be brought forward for the first time ever. And this is something that's been worked on for like 20 years. I mean, Mark, you and I think we interviewed the Fair Tax guy before we even moved to New Hampshire on Free Talk Live. It's one of the
I've interviewed him a couple of times since then on Edgington Posts. I just keep on, you know, talking about it because the Fair Tax does sound a heck of a lot better, and the chances of government giving up tax entirely seem very slim.
Indeed. I'm not a big fan of the Fair Tax. I'm certainly less of a fan of the IRS. We have our own critiques on that, but I don't want to focus on the Fair Tax.
Is there a tax you're a fan of?
No, of course not. The point I was trying to make, though, is that the big promise was we're going to let the fair tax come up for a vote, you know, because it's never happened before.
Okay.
And it's like, well, okay, you guys are acting like now they're acting like they want to get rid of the IRS. Now the talking point of the Republicans is we want to get rid of the IRS. We like the fair tax. Well, why didn't you want to get rid of the IRS under Trump when you guys were running the ship? When you guys had a Republican in the presidential suite and you had total control over the House and the Senate, why not introduce it then?
Let's not forget how much Trump clearly hated the IRS. They very well could have gotten a fair tax through because Republicans, like Democrats, are duplicitous liars. They're, politicians. It is synonymous with liar and thief.
Right. So,
look in the dictionary, look up tickety, 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 you know, synonyms for politician, and the words you come up with are not going to be good.
Let's also not forget that prior to that, there was Barack Obama who, as far as we can tell, instructed the IRS to investigate conservative organizations.
Sure.
It was clearly a political weapon then.
So my point is here that it's convenient for the Republicans to introduce a bill that would abolish the IRS at a time when there's no chance that it's going to pass. Even if the Republicans were to vote for it in Congress, there's no way Joe Biden is going to sign off on abolishing the IRS. So that then allows the Republicans to say, see, these Democrats, blah, 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 elect us in 2024. And by the time that happens, if it happens, the fair tax will be off the table again.
Yeah.
And the IRS will continue on. I mean, it's all such an obvious charade. So that's why I say I don't want anybody to think that I am getting all excited about a tremendous change to the SEC just because these things are happening in Congress. Let me play this for you here. This is a post here from Chris Bleck, B-L-E-C, Chris Bleck on Twitter. And this is a clip from somebody named, looks like McHenry. He's the chairman of this, I presume, financial committee in Congress, going up against Gary Gensler.
Ether is one of the most popular digital assets and powers the Ethereum blockchain. Back in 2018, then SEC Corporation Finance Director Bill Hinman stated that he believed Ether was not a security. Last month, CFTC Chair Benham expressed his view that Ether is a commodity. The State Attorney General of New York asserted in a court filing last month that Ether is a security. Clearly, an asset cannot be both a commodity and a security. Do you agree?
It's actually all securities are commodity under the Commodity and Exchange Act. It's that we are excluded commodities. But I would agree that a security cannot be also an excluded commodity and an included commodity. I'm sorry, Chair, just to talk about the Commodity Exchange Act more precisely.
A lot of words.
What did that mean?
Yeah, a lot of words there for a relatively simple question.
Okay, so do you recognize, how would you categorize Ether then?
I think that the general sweep of what Congress did, not just in the 30s, but as amended.
I'm asking you, sitting in your chair now, to make an assessment.
The 30s, by the way.
Way
the
before 30s. The 1930s. Yes. Is what he said. Good God.
We're talking about 90-something years ago, roughly, was when the Securities Act came into place.
Long right. before the invention of crypto.
I wonder what the politicians here in the 1930s, after they got off their horse and decided to vote on this act, what they were thinking about cryptocurrency. Because, you know, one of two things appears to be in play here. Either an unaccountable bureaucrat is rambling about some 90-year-old law and attempting to apply it to modern technology,
mm-hmm.
or Congress hasn't done its job and made a real law around cryptocurrency.
I would suggest both of those things are true.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess choice C, both A and B, is the case. Because Congress, I guess that's the first thing. If you see all these enforcement acts, and we see a bunch of them, mm-hmm. the SEC is out of control on cryptocurrency. And that's why Congress is reaming him.
Well,
but
They're at least pretending to.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think
a
this
verbal
is largely.
He's not being reamed in any sort of damaging sense. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is all they can do at this moment in time. And maybe one would presume politicians that are making this big of a deal about it would vote for something else. I don't know why they don't feel they can get it through.
Well, I mean, again, these things take time. Even if there are indeed gears in motion to try to rein in the SEC, there's two videos of this. In one of these videos, they reference how long it's been since this guy has been in front of the committee, and it's been a year and a half. So in that year and a half, how much damage have these people done? How many lawsuits have they brought? That's another question that actually gets answered. It's like 50-something.
And why is Congress struggling to rein this guy in? I mean, this organization, the SEC, is literally a creation of Congress. And they're like, we've got to get you under control. You're doing things that we don't approve of. Like, guys, how did they create this monster that is beyond their control?
Well, in theory, they can control it, but they haven't. This is like the beginning step of possibly doing another step, right? Like, first they got to file a bill, and then the bill's got to get a hearing, and then it's got to have another hearing, and then it's got to get voted on. I mean, before if this bill gets voted on before the end of the year, I'll be shocked.
Whatever this bill would replace him?
The bill would just simply get rid of him, and it would change some of the rules about who he reports to, who his replacement would report to. Let me continue here.
Meant under the laws as exist, is Ether a commodity or a security?
without speaking to anyone.
I know you've repeatedly said you're not going to speak to one, except you've spoken to one, Bitcoin. So I'm asking you to speak to a second one, the second largest market cap here.
He's referring to how Gensler has qualified Bitcoin as a commodity instead of a security. That's what he's referring to there.
And speaking to the tokens, there's 10 to 12,000. If there's a group of entrepreneurs,
I'm asking about one.
The public is anticipating a profit based on the.
I'm asking a specific question, Chair Gensler. I said this in private. This should be no shock to you. I'm asking this question: is it an is Ether a commodity or a security?
And again, it depends on the facts and the law. And if there's a group of
individuals, I'm asking about the.
What he's giving you the answer. It's whatever I want it to be any given moment.
That's what he's saying without saying those words.
I'll go after whomever I want, and your legislative power is meaningless to me. All you're doing is rambling. I have the power. Right. And he's right. He's right. These politicians are powerless against him.
So who can remove this guy from office?
Congress. And the president, I presume.
I'm not convinced the president can, based on, you know, things that Jeffrey Tucker has said in the past about the bureaucratic machinery in place and some law written in the 1890s or something that protects standing bureaucrats from just being arbitrarily fired. I would think that you can't have both people capable of firing this guy, or one of them would have done it. Like, either the Republicans in the House would have been upset, or the Senate would have been upset, or the Democrat in the White House would have been upset. Both of these sides cannot be happy with this dude. Right.
Well, the one side is apparently, at least a few of them, are unhappy.
And then I don't understand why they're struggling to fire him at all. Right? They either have the authority to fire him or they don't.
Somebody put a bill in, and that bill's got to go through the process.
Why do they need a bill to fire the guy? I don't understand.
They have to vote on it. They have to vote on it. I think that the president could just fire him without a bill because he's in charge of the executive branch, and this is an executive branch function, right? The SEC is an enforcement branch. And so the president wouldn't need to wait. He could just fire the dude and replace him with somebody else. If it were like Trump, remember Trump went in there and he just fired some people and then he fired some more people and then he fired some more people. He didn't actually change anything by doing that. And that's kind of the point that I want to make here is like, even if these Republicans do fire this guy, is that going to mean that the person who comes after him, antecedent, is that person going to cancel all of the standing lawsuits that are out there when they get into office?
Just going to
take it all. Okay, we're just going to take it back. Sorry, guys. Oh, here's your money back that you spent on the millions of dollars that you spent hiring attorneys to defend yourself against this nonsense lawsuit that we brought against you. You think those things are going to happen? Because I don't think so.
I would assume not. And it seems like the only thing that Congress could really do here is define what a security is, right? This is within the purview of Congress.
Well, define what a cryptocurrency is, because there's plenty of discussion about what a security is.
Yeah, either way, you know, they could define it in a way that excluded cryptocurrency. Like, why is this guy asking Gensler's opinion? He should be telling him what Ether is, not asking
him.
The
point is he's trying to put the guy on the spot, and he is doing a very good job of
that.
He's asking a simple question. He's asked it multiple times. I think you're going to get at least one more ask in here. And the guy is a slime bag, and he is not giving a straight answer. It's such a simple question.
In a fair world, though, the guy would say Ether is a commodity in the story, and the SEC guy would have to say, okay, fine, then it's a commodity.
But him just saying that isn't the same as them passing some law that says that, right? If he says it, it's just his opinion. If it's a law, then it's an opinion backed by a gun, and then he has to do what that law says. Let's go on.
Facts and a law sitting in your seat and the judgment you are making.
And so, Mr. Chair, I think you would not want me to prejudge because I'm also.
But you have prejudged on this. You've taken 50 enforcement actions.
50.
We're finding out as we go, as you file suit, as people get Wells notices on what is a security in your view, in your agency's view. I'm asking you a very simple question about the second largest digital asset. What is your view?
And my view is if there's a group of individuals in the middle that the public is
all right, so let me just ask you a second question. Do you think it serves the market for an object to be viewed by the commodities regulator as a commodity and the securities regulator to be viewed as a security? Do you think that provides safety and soundness for the product? Do you think it provides consumer protection?
Who's this guy speaking? I kind of like him based on this.
I'm sure there's a lot to dislike about this guy.
I'm sure.
He's a congressman or whatever, but Mr. McHenry, the chairman of whatever this committee is.
So. I mean, I'm sure, as you point out, he's a politician, so he's evil. He does all sorts of lying, deceitful, shady things.
He's
but
wearing a bow tie here.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But on this particular note,
that says economist to me.
He's at least not wrong here.
He's right on this particular issue. There's no doubt about it. Let's keep going here.
Do you think it serves the value of innovation? I think no should be a very simple answer for you here.
I think
that uncertainty is bad, is it not?
And I think that Congress has said that there's one agency, the Securities and Exchange Commission, under this committee.
And you won't answer my question, and you're the head of that agency. So give me a break. Come on.
I'm answering it in the generic because you would not want me to speak about any one set of facts and circumstances.
But he literally does. He wants you to speak about one set of facts and circumstances in regard to Ether.
Okay,
he does want that.
But you've already spoken. Have you said anything about Bitcoin?
My predecessors and the agency itself has spoken to them.
Okay, but you're not willing to do the same about Ether. Okay, so let me just step back. There's a lack of clarity here in the marketplace. Can you at least agree to that?
I think that the clarity is there. The law is clear.
All right.
There's a group
let me be explicit about this. The market doesn't see it. Your regulatory actions and the CFTC's regulatory actions say that there's a great deal of uncertainty here. It is the intention of this committee to fix that uncertainty and actually provide a sound legal basis.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I mean, that statement is almost worthy of applause.
Yeah.
If it actually goes anywhere.
And it is fun. It's like I said, it's fun to hear this bureaucrat getting interrupted as he would just go on and on. You know that, right? Like if the guy at the head of this desk were to let Gensler just talk. He would just be rambling on and on about his regulatory.
This is the skill set, right? Like, this is the one skill set of these people, not just the bureaucrats, the politicians, too. If you're in Washington, D.C., and you have a job that pays you six figures or above, the chances are very, very good that you have the skill set of talking without saying anything.
Yep. Exactly right. So I've got another video. I want to take a break from the video here to give you an update on their latest action, the SEC. It's a new week, so there's a new attack against cryptocurrency. This one is against the crypto trading platform known as Bittrex, crypto exchange Bittrex. You're looking like you're trying to remember what this one was.
I'm familiar with Bittrex, but I don't remember why. Like, I never used Bittrex.
It's a smaller exchange, but it's noteworthy. It was one of the U.S.-based exchanges when it started. It's gone global since then, but it is a U.S.-based exchange. They were in the news maybe 2 weeks ago for announcing that they are going to close services to United States customers.
So maybe that's why
they saw the writing on the wall. They saw what was happening to Coinbase and Kraken and the other ones that the SEC's gone after. And they said, you know what? We're just going to close up shop here in the United States. Okay, have a nice day. We're out. Well, that didn't stop what was coming, and that is that the SEC is now bringing a lawsuit against Bittrex and its co-founder for operating an unregistered national securities exchange. We'll continue here in moments.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Yeah. USA News update. Just before their defamation trial was to begin, a settlement was reached between Dominion Voting Systems and Fox News.
Money is accountability, and we got that today from Fox.
Dominion attorney Stephen Shackelford Jr. said the network will pay more than $787 million to Dominion. Fox News in a statement said it acknowledged the court's rulings, finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. At least one person is dead and several are injured after a parking garage in New York City partially collapsed. It's a five-story structure, and the second level collapsed onto the first. There was a bit of commotion at the White House today after a child was able to squeeze through a fence. The kid made his way toward the North Lawn as his parents looked on from Pennsylvania Avenue. Access to the White House was restricted during the incident because the president was inside. The little trespasser was quickly reunited with his parents, and after questioning, they were all free to go. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. You can join the show here if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about the latest attack against cryptocurrency, the ongoing series of attacks. We just learned from a discussion that they had in Congress today with SEC Chairman Gary Gensler that there are now at least 50 lawsuits that the SEC has brought against various different people and, you know, businesses, developers within the cryptocurrency industry. So the latest one is this attack against Bittrex. We'll tell you more about it coming up here. It's Ian, Aria, and Mark on the show with you here tonight. And definitely want to make sure you know about the upcoming event, Liberty in Our Lifetime. And that is going to be happening this October. Mark, you're going to be there October 14th and 15th in Prague once again.
That's absolutely right. I've got my tickets. I believe I've gotten them already, but I better check that.
What are we? What are they going to be doing up there?
Mark, you're slipping. You're letting people know you're going to be in a place before you're there.
Well, they do have security.
Fair enough.
Indeed. And there's no way to promote an event that I'm going to be at without saying things like that.
Yeah.
The last time I was there, they gave speeches on the idea of creating a place from the ground up that's free. Rather than trying to fight the system wherever you are, go moving to a different place where You know, they've gotten some promise from the government in one way or another to be able to build free communities. Some places, this is with existing law. Others, it's with new special economic zones and that sort of thing.
Ah, the promises of liars.
Yeah, indeed.
So that's coming up October 14th and 15th. There's going to be representatives from different projects in Honduras, Germany, Norway, even the United States, apparently. Over at Prague, you can join them at libertyinourlifetime.org. Use code FTL to save 10% on tickets. Mark, do you know who the people from the U.S. are?
No, I don't have the list of speakers. Go to libertyinourlifetime.org.
Yeah, that's interesting because I've not heard of any free city project going on in the United States. I mean, obviously,
oh yes, you do, and we're involved.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So it's the Free State Project. It's something else. Yeah,
the Catawba Indian Nation.
Ah, very interesting.
Green Earth Zone, I believe it's called.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Well, I am interested in hearing an update from those.
I was just there last week.
I mean, speaking of government liars, no one knows the lying government better than the Native Americans. When I mention the lying government, that's exactly the example I think of, is all of the promises that the government told to Native Americans. I was like, I don't know if I can put my trust in these people to leave them alone again, but...
Indeed.
Only time will tell.
Let's go to Ricky. He's on the line in Pennsylvania. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Sir Ian, Brother Mark, Sister Ari, good evening.
What's on your mind?
Well, I only got 2 points on this, and it's concerning the call I made last night about the Farmington shooting, if I could.
The Farmington shooting. This is a guy that got shot to death by the police who were at the wrong house when he allegedly opened the door carrying a gun and allegedly leveled the gun at the officers.
That's it. And here's my observation of last night's phone call. Hopefully this discussion can be civilized. But I did have a point of view about the second article that you read after I was off the air. Now, first off, concerning Aria, you know, I had issues in the past, and I don't call in when she's hosting, you know. And from the get-go, I'll be honest, you know, I mean, she was controlling about the discussion, but then she was picking at everything I said, you know, and it was just...
Have you been drinking tonight?
Horrible. It was just horrible.
Have you been drinking tonight, Ricky?
Absolutely not.
No? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. It's natural to slur your speech like that.
I was just talking.
You know? All right, Ricky. What about it, man?
All right, as I was saying.
We don't need all this recap. What do you want to say?
Well, also, I was saying when it came to this, you know, using a gun in a certain manner with self-defense, that was just ridiculous. I mean, basically what it comes down to, I have no personal issue with Ari, but it seems to kind of be the color.
It sounds pretty personal. Why don't you just get to the point of what you're trying to call about? You keep on talking about what happened last night. You keep talking about what happened last night. I thought you had a point you wanted to make about the situation in Farmington.
Oh, I do, actually.
Let's do that. Get to that point.
I'm going to give you that. I just made the decision that this, for the good of all, you know, when Ari's co-hosting, I'm not going to call in either.
Okay, well, then call another night. Thank you for the call tonight. The number here is 603-283-6160. I mean... Was he not listening?
I guess not. I don't know.
He must have been listening because he was on hold for the whole first segment.
Oh, yeah, fair point.
So, I don't know. Maybe he just didn't notice you, but you don't want to call when Ari is on, then don't call Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesdays.
Right. Fair enough.
603-283-6160 is the number.
Ricky, like a lot of callers, they get very upset when you don't just let them monologue incessantly. When they say something silly or reckless and you challenge them on it, they get very defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did he say that something... I'd have to listen to the call last night, but he said something about why it was okay for the police to murder this guy, and I challenged that because I don't think that's right.
If you want to hear it, you can listen to last night's show, which you can download over at freetalklive.com. So we were
this guy leveled a gun at some police officers, and they shot him?
Allegedly. It's not clear from the video whether...
Allegedly they shot him?
No.
Is he dead?
He allegedly leveled a gun. It's not clear from the video if that's actually what happened.
And Ricky's... Okay. Relaying of the story last night said that the guy opened the door with the gun pointed at the police officers, which is factually incorrect.
That did not look to be the case from the video. Whether he raised his arms with a gun is not clear from the video, so that's where we left it.
Holding a gun on police is a bad idea.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
So the United States Securities and Exchange Commission is now going after Bittrex and its co-founder William Shihara for operating an unregistered national securities exchange, broker, and clearing agency, and they filed a separate charge against Bittrex Global. The SEC, according to Cointelegraph.com, is pressing four charges of Exchange Act violations against the companies and Mr. Shihara in the District Court of Western Washington.
So there's an Exchange Act that presumably regulates cryptocurrency exchanges?
No, no.
Of course not.
No, there's no, to my knowledge, there's no federal regulation of cryptocurrencies explicitly anywhere at this time.
Which is why we're in this position.
Right. That's just one agency saying cryptocurrency is a commodity, one agency saying it's a security, every agency claiming whatever it wants to about cryptocurrency. And if you happen to in some way violate one of the rules that they come up with that are contradictory and arbitrary, you're going to jail. Go to jail. Sorry. See ya.
So in this case, I think we're referring to an exchange act that has to do with securities. So a securities exchange is what they're calling Bittrex here. And they are saying they were unlicensed or unregistered. Now, in this case, like the SEC's cases have tended to be so far, as my understanding is, this is a civil case. They're seeking monetary damages, quote unquote, disgorgement, things like that, but not actual prison time. The SEC argued in
its... And then I don't understand what's the point. The government doesn't need money, right? They just print whatever they want.
You know, the point is not only to get money out of them, because it does go to the bottom line of the department, right? Like, the department itself benefits from, I believe, seizures in this case, but
yeah,
also...
it's not a conflict of interest at all.
But also, the intention is to scare people out of this marketplace, right? That's why Bittrex closed up shop 2 weeks ago, and they sent out a notice saying, we're done, we're out, we're closing for U.S. users, goodbye if you're a U.S. user, you've got, 2 weeks to get your money out, and then, I don't know if it was 2 weeks, but a very short amount of time to get your money out, and then we're out. We're going to continue operating globally, but we're done with the United States. And that's what they said, and that's what they want more companies to do. They want more companies to close out, they want them to leave the United States, they want them to never open. The SEC.
The SEC. Okay.
They want them to.
Because I don't know whether it's just Bittrex. I mean, at this point, what
there
do you want?
There are 50 suits that he admitted this in the discussion earlier that we played.
I love as an American that I am free to invest in whatever I want to invest in. I think that that's a great freedom that we have here in the land of the free.
Okay, you're being.
And I think that the reason that we have that freedom is because Americans are so brave. They're brave enough to stand up to their government when it oversteps.
Yeah, very facetious, Mark. Very facetious.
It's the reason I left.
Can't blame you for that. But the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission also argued in their complaint, and this is one of the other interesting takeaways besides the fact that they're trying to destroy this business financially, they also specifically claimed that multiple cryptocurrencies are so-called securities, including OMG, Monolith, Naga, IHT Real Estate Protocol, most of which I've never heard of, but also Dash. Dash, digital cash, one of the oldest cryptocurrencies on the scene, the first ever decentralized autonomous organization that's still running to this day. They go into Dash for paragraphs and paragraphs about why they believe Dash is a so-called security.
Is it the pre-mine? Because they actually
ignore that.
Okay. I would expect that, and I would almost find it amusing that the pre-mine was still, biting Dash in the rear this many years later. But obviously, I don't want the SEC going after Dash.
The agency also claims Bittrex and Shihara advise clients to delete problematic statements to avoid regulatory scrutiny. The complaint seeks disgorgement, penalties, and permanent injunctions against the defendants in a jury trial.
But they're not within the U.S. anymore, right?
They closed shop.
Yeah, but...
The guys may still live here. I don't know.
Okay, well, that would be silly.
Oh, they're happy to come after you for something that happened, a half a decade ago. Even if there was no guidance, you don't know what was going on. What difference does it make? This is how laws is made. Just a grist mill.
What if the guy, renounces his citizenship and moves to, Kuwait or whatever?
They probably won't let him renounce if there's a current... court action against him. Remember, I remember
when
Roger Ver was renouncing his citizenship, the former longtime sponsor of Free Talk Live on behalf of Bitcoin.com. He had gone to federal prison for selling fireworks on eBay.
Good Lord.
And then when he got out, he was like, you know what? Screw the United States. I'm moving anywhere else. And he went
Which
to
is
Tokyo.
Understandable.
He went to St. Kitts. And then he filed the paperwork that he needed to file to renounce citizenship. And they made him pay six figures before they would approve the citizenship renunciation.
I don't understand. I thought the way, logic tells me that the way renouncing citizenship works is you leave and you say, I'm no longer a citizen of this place.
No, it turns out it's a process.
Well, there's a few problems to that.
It's just like ending a bad relationship or any other abusive relationship. There's not a process. You just leave and declare that you're done with it.
Well, here's some of the issues, and I'm not saying you're wrong, Aria. Your upset is completely justified. However, first off, the U.S. has extradition treaties with countries around the world, so if they decide in your absence that you've done something illegal, they'll just drag you, like they did Julian Assange, as long as it takes. They don't care. There's a system here. After all, Western civilization's in the balance and all that good stuff, and they will just drag you. Whether it kills you or not, through to their legal system. The second thing, and this is also really, really important, the United States is the only country on the planet that I know of, certainly the largest geographically and as far as population goes, that has this one little rule. This one little rule is that if you pass through the United States, as far as a plane ride goes or something like that, you must have your U.S. passport and your U.S. immigration must be up to date. Any other country, if you're passing through, like for instance, I passed through Japan to leave Saipan to come to Reagan Airport. It doesn't matter what my immigration status is in Japan. It only mattered what my immigration status was in the United States, which I left the United States, went to Japan, and then went back to the United States.
I mean, that's sort of what I would expect. I would expect if you're at an airport, you're considered not to be on that nation's soil. Like if you pass through JFK International in New York, I wouldn't expect you to be considered on American soil. You're just passing through, right?
A reasonable person would come to that conclusion, but it is not.
But not the American government.
It is the lowest threshold the United States has as far as its immigration goes, but it holds people who are passing through its airports to a different standard than every other nation that I know of. I mean, I'm not going to say North Korea, but I don't think there's any flights that transfer through North Korea.
I would not take a transfer through North Korea.
Yeah. I advise against it.
So that's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah. But that has always been a question of mine, Aria, to go back to your kind of original question about, what happens if, for instance, they're going after the Binance exchange, the CFTC. So not the SEC yet, but the Commodities Futures Trading Commission has brought a lawsuit against Binance, which is the world's largest exchange. What happens if Binance is just like, you don't have jurisdiction over us. Screw you. We're not going to show up. Well, they get a default judgment against Binance in that case, and they get to put into place whatever kind of injunction against them, which may bar them from doing business in the United States. I don't know if that can result in a criminal charge or something. I'm not sure what all the consequences are. I've always wondered why international companies who don't do business in the United States, exempting Binance.us, which is a whole other story, but why a company that's not wanting to do business in the U.S., doesn't care about doing business in the U.S., would care about answering a court charge in the United States. I've never understood that. No one's ever called to explain it, and I'd really like to know. And the best example of this for me is Telegram that put out, because Binance has a U.S. division, Bittrex was in the U.S., so they're still kind of here, they're still cleaning up, they probably still have a bank account, there's things that the court can probably freeze and go after here still, but Telegram is it's a chat app that was created by a Russian guy. Who doesn't live in Russia, as I understand it. He's kind of not friends with the
UAE, right?
Russian government. Yeah, I don't know where he lives. But he doesn't live in the United States either. And Telegram has no locus of legality in the United States. It doesn't run servers in the United States. I've seen the FBI testify in the Chris Cantwell case about how frustrating it is to issue a subpoena to Telegram. They basically say it can't be done because there's nothing in the United States for them to target. So when I heard that the that Telegram was coming out with its own cryptocurrency that they called TON, T-O-N,
yeah, I remember
right
that.
Before it came out, I don't remember which agency it was, but some federal or state agency filed a lawsuit in federal court against Telegram because they were going to bring this thing out. And Telegram actually hired attorneys to respond to this particular case in the United States. They lost, and then they scrapped their plan to bring out their cryptocurrency. I could not understand why a company that has zero basis in the United States would give a damn about responding to some sort of frivolous nonsense like that, and then further scrap their entire plans over it.
I don't understand that. It's one thing to be subject to the U.S. law, right? It's one thing to be an American company or an American citizen subject to U.S. law, but the Telegram is not that. Bittrex at this point is not that. Binance is not that. This all it reeks of a desperate animal flailing wildly, hitting, lashing out at anyone and everyone that it can as it dies. That's what it seems like the U.S. government is doing.
I hope that that's what's happening. It doesn't seem like they're quite near death yet, but that may come on sooner than we think.
But
right?
With everything going on with, like, BRICS and just the fall of the U.S. empire in general, I don't know. I think it can happen very, very quickly.
Well, that's what happened with...
Well, it could, but let's not forget that Caesar crossing the Rubicon and the death of the Western Roman Empire were separated by close to 500 years. What kills a thing may not be the thing that give you some kind of time frame as to what's going on. I agree with you. There's a note of desperation to this, but dead in our lifetimes? Good question. Who's going to replace it?
Things can happen slowly and then all of a sudden, right? Like the fall of the Berlin Wall, the end of Soviet-style communism. A lot of these things came on unexpectedly for a lot of people. So the SEC, in their tough-talking statement, their Enforcement Division Director, Gubir Garwal, said, "Today's action not only holds Bittrex accountable for misconduct that we allege put investors at risk, but should also send a message to other non-compliant crypto market intermediaries to follow the federal securities laws or be held accountable for their violations."
They would probably love to follow U.S. security laws, man. That's part of the problem here. You won't tell them what those laws are.
Yeah, they keep saying, just come in and register, but there's no procedure. There's no path to compliance. There's no path to registration. There's nothing out there, and that's part of what these congressmen were raking the SEC chairman over the coals about. Bittrex was expecting the SEC action and reportedly had received a Wells notice warning of the impending action in March. The exchange had already announced its intention of closing down U.S. operations on April 30th due to the regulatory environment. Bittrex released a statement that said, in part, for over 5 years, the SEC would not provide notice of the specific conduct that it thought violated the federal securities laws. Specifically, on multiple occasions, we asked them to tell us what digital assets on our platform they viewed as securities so that we could review and potentially delist them. They refused to do so.
I mean, this should be, in a fair world, this would be an open and shut case where a judge took one look at this and say, oh, look, they have evidence of what they're saying, that they asked the SEC these questions and they did not get an answer over 5 years, finding in favor of Bittrex.
Apparently, there's another paragraph here that I need to
hear. In a fair world, Aria, we would add to that government bureaucrats would be responsible for their actions. If they cost millions of dollars to Bittrex for its legal fees that they brought, they would be responsible for that.
Holy crap. I didn't even hear about this story. So the story here on what just happened with Bittrex references an older story from October where they were hit with charges from the OFAC, that's the Office of Foreign Assets Control. That's the group that has, like, a list of terrorists you're not supposed to do business with.
There's another one of these organizations that are attempting to crack down on cryptocurrency?
The Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, which I'm sure you're familiar with from the Crypto6 case. They took enforcement actions against Bittrex for allegedly violating sanctions programs and the reporting requirements under the Bank Secrecy Act. Again, a lot of the same sounding things they came after the Crypto 6 for, but in this case, Bittrex paid up $29 million to make the problem go away.
You know, to put off the problem for another day, it sounds like.
Well, no, it just put off. It just made the FinCEN and OFAC go away.
Okay,
the
fair
SEC
point.
Said, ooh. Y'all got $29 million out of them?
You got $29 million?
Hold my beer.
Right. So, yeah. That's the latest with Bittrex. So the news out of this, the other big news here is what they're saying about Dash, the cryptocurrency that has been marketed for a long time. It's always been marketed, as long as it's been Dash. It was something else before then. It was called like Darkcoin or something. But then they rebranded to Dash, and it was digital cash. Dash is the crypto, along with kind of Bitcoin Cash. They're sort of fighting over the title of, you know, cash like king, something that people can use as peer to peer electronic cash.
Ooh, that's I got to say, I think Bitcoin Cash wins in that particular scenario, but not by
Why?
A lot. I just like Bitcoin Cash better.
Yeah.
I think I find it to be a little more usable, a little bit more flexible, and it wasn't pre-mined. Not in the same way that Dash was, anyway.
That's true. Although Dash has a quarter of the times for block time, so it's faster confirmation.
True.
They've got like all these other things that they've developed over the years. They've got something that protects against 51% attacks.
Don't get me wrong. I like them both.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things to like about both. But anyway. They called Dash a security, and they go in for, like I said, paragraphs explaining why the Crypto Kaleo on Twitter has some excerpts from the SEC lawsuit against Bittrex. And they say here that
in the filing against Bittrex, the SEC puts Dash on notice, essentially.
Yeah, basically, if I were the people that are running Dash. And there is a group
of
people.
It's an autonomous organization.
It is a decentralized autonomous organization. However, as the SEC points out in their lawsuit, there's a group of people they mistakenly name as the Dash Control Group, a.k.a. DCG. Actually, I believe is Dash Core Group, so they really made a huge mistake in this lawsuit. But that will be neither here nor there. Here's an excerpt from the suit. It says... Today, Dash claims to be run by a subset of its users, which are called masternodes. Masternodes are servers that provide a second layer of services and governance on the Dash blockchain on top of the services provided by standard nodes. 10% of the block rewards that are generated from mining every month are sent to the Dash treasury to fund improvements to the Dash platform and the Dash token. The bulk of those block rewards are distributed to DCG, the Dash Core Group, an entity they say controlled by the masternodes. So Dash Control or Dash Core Group has identifiable humans behind it. Like your typical decentralized autonomous organization, if you were to look at who makes it up, you wouldn't know. But the Dash Core Group has a CEO and it has, people.
But at the same time, the DAO chooses to give money monthly to the Dash Core Group and could choose to not do that.
But they control us, so...
Well, there's more coming up here in moments because this is one of the things they're claiming makes Dash a security. In moments, you can join us as well. Hour number two is coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare, and the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.